gets stretched. Ball in behind. Looks like Haaland's onside. He's going to go in on goal here again, Haaland.
Oh, there
what
we go.
A finish! Bundesliga's newest star has struck. Hat-trick for Haaland. And five for Borussia Dortmund.
Three goals, first game. Last time we saw that was with Aubameyang. He scored three goals against the same team, Augsburg, in his first game as a Borussia Dortmund player. The difference is that Aubameyang came in the summer, so he had more time than Haaland, like, and he was older, I guess, when he came to Borussia Dortmund. He was like 23 or 24 at least. But yeah, when like you see what happened yesterday, I mean, like the noise that made, because like the game was a mess up until, you know, that up until that Julian Brand goal. Even after that, it was like after they scored the third goal, it was like a mess. And then we see Haaland coming in, and within 3 minutes of his introduction, he scored his first goal, and he went on to get the hat trick and assists from Jadon Sancho, Hazard, and Marco Reus.
Yeah, and one thing too that was crazy to me, Haaland, his hat trick took 23 minutes, is what I think is the number I saw, which is, that's like insane. Not only like 23 minutes is fast for a hat trick for anybody, but like when it's your first game on a team, and you didn't even, like, you didn't play in the first half and you just joined the team, and you come in and you score a hat trick in 23 minutes. That type of impact, like, I don't know, that's like a very unique feature for some of the world's like best players. Like, there's only so many players who are capable of that kind of production and that kind of like efficiency in production. Like, that's like, Haaland is straight up a machine if he can keep that up. Like, it could have been, you know, beginner's luck, so to speak, but I think we have a lot to look forward to with him, because if that's like his base understanding and his base skill level, I can only imagine he's going to go up from here. And if he likes Dortmund and sticks around, I think he could be a huge benefit for the team.
Yeah, I mean, the hype train has already like departed the station.
Yeah, like it's full speed ahead.
Full steam ahead, bro. Like, people, everyone is like, oh my god, oh, Haaland, the new Lewandowski. Oh, we're gonna have, we didn't have such a player since Lewandowski, and people are crazy. And yesterday I watched the game on Fox Sports 1, and there was like the commentator and the other commentator who used to be a player, and the commentator was like, when Haaland scored the hat-trick, the commentator, I don't think the hat-trick, I think the second goal maybe, the commentator was like, oh, are we like looking at the next Lewandowski? And the second commentator was like, whoa, let's slow down here for a minute. We don't have to like ride that hype train. I'm like, fuck it, let's ride it, motherfucker, let's go.
Even the announcers are on board. We're picking up everyone. Like, if you see this train, you're hopping on or you're getting run over. There are no other options.
Yeah, we're going to hop on this train. Nothing bad is going to happen, that's for sure. But when we talk about the whole game, how it went, like, I watched the whole game, and you saw that I was like texting you, telling you that you should watch the game. Don't look at the scores, because, you know, it was supposed to be epic, and it was an epic comeback. But looking at the first half, like, the players were, it's like what we saw this season with these games where we were winning and we lost, or the games that we didn't play at all, we were not present at all. That yesterday, the first half was one of these moments, because, like, come on, let's be honest, like, Marco Reus was like, oh, what is football anyway?
Yeah, that first half, like, I don't know, it was cool to see Dortmund have like a different persona yesterday than what we're used to in games like yesterday's. Like, in close games with teams that we should be beating, Dortmund tend to like struggle, or they tend to make really costly mistakes, and either they're not in the game from the start or like they'll take the lead in the first half, but then just completely fall apart in the second half. And yesterday, we saw a very, very different approach, I feel like, in terms of mentality from the Black and Yellow. You know, it was nice to see the guys not get disconnected from the game and from like what was going on around them after going down 2-0. Or I'm sorry, after going down 3-1 even. For Brandt to score that goal and pull us within one, and then very quickly we concede another, you know, that can be very demoralizing for a team. But obviously, like, Dortmund was ready for that challenge. They were up to task, and they responded well. They kept their minds in the game, and they I don't know, they stuck to what they know best. They passed well, they created opportunities, and it's hard to ignore the impact of Haaland. I think it comes back to, like, he is a player who can make an impact in ways that, like, other players on this team can't. Like, there's plenty of goal scorers in the squad, but there's not many players who have, like, the physical prowess that he has. And, like, not only does he, like, he occupies a lot of space around him because of his size, but he also, like, when he does that, he opens up space for other players too, without like needing to use dribbling to split defenders and stuff. So like his skill set is a little different than I feel like some of the more technical skill sets we've got on our team. Like he is like very much a goal creator, goal scorer, I guess you could say. Like not a creator in the sense that he's like gonna be a machine of assists, but in the sense that like he knows how to like put himself in a shooting position. I think it was his third goal where that was the one assisted by Royce, and he took a couple soft touches on his left foot, and like he didn't even like look for defenders. He was just taking two like very like simple touches to his left to get himself just a little more of an angle on the goal, and then he buried it. It's like the way he sees the game is like, how can we turn this into a goal scoring chance, or what do I need to do to make this the easiest goal possible? And then he goes and scores the goal. Like, it's not even like, how do I get past these defenders? How do I fool these players? It's like when Haaland has the ball at his feet, you know exactly what he's going to do, but that doesn't stop him from doing it because he does what he does so well. Like he maintains his possession and he just finds the quickest route to the goal. It's really, really impressive for especially a youngster of his age. Like we are very fortunate that he is a member of this roster now.
Yeah, of course, man. Like, well, yeah, but as you said, he's good with his placement, the way he allows other player, he makes himself available for the other teammates, and he is always in between defenders, expecting passes all the time. His first touch is very good. His placement is spot on. As we say it before, the hype train already like left the fucking station. At the same time, it's a little bit too early to judge, but fuck it, let's go. Let's leave this shit behind. But when what I want to talk about as well is, come on, because this is a very positive game. We had three important points. We are still in the race for the Bundesliga. We have two of our newest players, Reyna and Haaland, who played and who are like building their confidence with the first team, which is very good. Now, when we look back at the first half, I mean, one of my, like, I've said this before like 20,000 times, I want to see less of Akanji. Like, honestly, what the fuck, man? I mean, he's so inconsistent. He is a good player, but his self-confidence is like out of there. He also creates problems for Hummels like several times yesterday. When we played the new like formation that Lucien Favre uses right now, which is a three in the back that becomes five when there's like when the team is defending. But when you see that we have like an option to employ a young player such as Leonardo Baledi, I'm a little bit biased, to be honest, for Leonardo Baledi, but I would love to see him play more games. Maybe Zagadou, if he when he comes back from the slight injury that he has, he can also fill in the shoes of Akanji. I don't want to see Akanji right now in the team because he made so much mistakes. And so many mistakes. And at the same time, Royce yesterday did not know what he was doing. He apart from the assist to provide assist for the fifth goal, other than that, he missed so many clear chances head to head. Something that he never misses. His placement was very, you know, like not him, not himself. You know, he didn't feel. I don't know what happened yesterday, but it didn't feel like the real Marco Royce, you know.
Yeah.
Say the real Marco Royce who can shake things up, who can like move, lead, pass, dribble, score. Yesterday we saw a different person. He was like, he wasn't there, you know. It was just like, it was like Akanji. They were just running around, hoping something would happen, you know.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that's my opinion about that first half. But in the second half, like, it's almost like the second goal of Augsburg, when they scored the second goal, it was like a small wake-up call for the team, the way it was scored, because it was like for the first minute of the second half, and the I don't remember the player's name, but he scored that shot from the distance, and that was like that shot that shook like players. And then when Brandt scored his goal, like we saw slight improvement in the overall performance from the players.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. That second goal specifically, like I feel like a goal like that has like it can have two very like different impacts on a game. It can either just like shut down a team and like just take them out of the game mentally, or it can kind of like wake them up, like you said. And I think for us, we were fortunate that it was more of a wake-up call than a demoralizer, because like it's one of those goals where it's like you just, if you're not thinking about how, like, you kind of underestimate the other team, and then they score. Like Augsburg, I don't think Dortmund expected Augsburg to put up the fight that they put, but at the same time, like that like their Augsburg is a capable team, as are most of Dortmund's opponents in the Bundesliga. Like there's different teams find ways to score, and like sometimes, like even if you think you're defending well and you give guys space, like for that second goal that Augsburg scored, Dortmund kind of found themselves like, I don't know, it was just one of those moments where it's difficult to like to account for that in like your game plan. And so when it happens, it kind of like shakes you up a little bit, and like sometimes you need to be shaken up if you want to get yourself back in the game. You need something to throw you off if you've been just like caught in a rut. But at the same time, like if it throws you off too much, it can just throw you out of the game completely. But I think Dortmund responded well, and kind of it just seemed like they upped their respect for Augsburg for the remainder of the game after that. Like they took the game a little more seriously, it felt like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's also urgency. Like for the first time, I think this season we saw some kind of urgency from the players, when the way they played, the way they like push the ball forward quickly, being fast, providing more space, having more players forward in counter-attacks, because I think that all our goals yesterday were from counter-attacks. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, who scored first? It was, okay, the Brandt goal, maybe it was construction play, but other than that, Haaland's goals, three of them were counter-attacks, and Sancho's goal was a counter-attack as well. So this is what we want to do. Like, as we said before, like in previous episodes, the game is to have like a good defensive plan and sit back and let the team come at you, you know. And then after that, you can have fast plays forward, so you can like, you know, create more chances. That way you can, because most of the time we looked stupid with that position, like having 75% position and then scoring nothing. So why would we like have that kind of, game plan? I prefer like counter-attack because yesterday it works for us. It worked for us, especially against these types of teams that are like, when they start the game, they're like, okay, we're playing Dortmund, and Dortmund is a good team when it comes to construction. So what we're gonna do, the strategy today is that we're going to sit back, we're gonna park the bus, we're gonna be disciplined, we're gonna stand our ground and let them come at us. But then when you're just like playing that position game against these teams, it doesn't go anywhere. But if you play only on, if you allow the team to come to attack as well, and you counter-attack while holding, like while standing your ground in the defense, then you have more chances to score because there's not these, there's like not like 10 players standing in front of the penalty box.
Like we have so much pace on our team, and now with Haaland too, like he's another guy who's just insanely fast. Like it's better for Dortmund to use that pace in their attacks, and playing the possession game, they just don't get that kind of pace. Possession is important in the sense that you don't want to make stupid passes or force like a ball in that isn't there. Like you want to be patient if you need to, but like there are times when Dortmund is just too patient. Like they kind of just get stuck, like you talked about. They're just standing around passing between each other, and they're not making any like forward progression, or there's not enough space around the goal because the team they're playing has like 5, 10 guys back around the box, and their goal is protected. And like Dortmund with their pace, like they can afford to let teams play a little more in the midfield with them, and then like kind of take advantage of the space in behind. With the pace that Dortmund has, there's no reason that the center backs should be able to just like the center backs should be trying to catch up to our attackers is the way I see it. Like we have so much pace that it doesn't make sense to not use it, you know?
Yes. And as one other thing, because that goes hand in hand, if you want, with what you just said, is I heard like one of the commentators yesterday in Fox Sports who said a very clever thing. He said that this team, talking about Dortmund, he has so much talent, so many talented players, and the players' names, everyone in the team, like Sancho, Royce, Brandt, when you think about it, Hazard, Hummels, Witzel, Berkey, now Haaland, like the names, man. He was like, with these names, they should play like, they should like perform in games as they are supposed to perform with these big names. Do you get me? So if we, if we have like these talented players, on the bench, and outfield playing like week in, every weekend, and playing the Champions League, they should show that they are a top team, that they are a top contender. They should not allow things to happen like it happened yesterday. Like, yes, we came back in the fucking, we came back because Augsburg. Because we played, we played a very good game in the second half, and at the same time, Augsburg were like, okay, we are 3-1 right now, and maybe we won. We got it, we got it. Let's just chill. That's what happened. Like, to be honest, that's what happened. Because if Augsburg like were, for example, Bayern in a cup final, or they were like Barcelona in a Champions League quarterfinal or something, you can't really. If they score like 2 goals, it's done. If they score like 3-1 at the 65th minute, like, okay, it's done. We have nothing to do. Okay, we're not gonna do good the same. They're not like Augsburg. So the first thing to do is to prevent these things from happening. And most of it is from Lucien Favre second-guessing his own decisions, like being not a confident manager, playing by not playing the right names, the right players. And at the same time, it comes also from like the players' mentality and how they feel in that moment. So in my opinion, if we play like the squad we are, like the names we have, I think that good things are, you know, are to be expected from this season. Only if we do that. If we just like sloppily make mistakes and allow ourselves to miss chances, you know, clear chances, and allow ourselves to make bad mistakes in the defense, then I don't think that we can go further than second position in the Bundesliga and like no trophy at all. That's my my opinion about the matter.
Yeah, like if we're gonna go out and seek talents like Julian Brandt, Haaland, and Hazard, all these guys who are like, they're known for their goal scoring, but part of what makes them so good at their goal scoring and their like their attacking play is their pace. If you're going to get all these pace-based players and then tell them to change their style to work in your system and not like use their, like not accommodate your system to like to benefit from their style, like I don't see the point. Like if you're going to sign, you know, Brandt, Hazard, and Haaland and then tell them to go play a style that just doesn't fit with their like skills and their abilities, then like what, why not just go sign someone who fits the style that you're looking for instead, you know? Like if you're going to sign all these players that are pacey and then tell them to play a not pacey game, why not just go find players who aren't pacey and who are more technical and more like, you know, fundamental and like less aggressive on the attack. Like don't go and sign players that don't fit your system if you don't want to use them in their system. And so when Dortmund went out and signed all these players and then didn't want to work with their system, it's, I don't know, it kind of was weird to me.
Yeah, it makes sense, bro. Like as you say, 100%, I 100% agree. Like if you want to have players that are fast, that can like get the ball forward, that can play better in counterattacks or you know quick game constructions, yeah, sign them. But like don't be like, okay, we're gonna play position game now and be like FC Barcelona or some bullshit.
Yeah, like if you want to play Barcelona's game, you got to sign Barcelona's players, not players who like work as a counter to that system, you know? Like either sign players for the system you have or use or change your system to work with the skills that your players have.
Exactly. And I 100% agree with that. One other thing about how the team played yesterday is we saw the key moment when Lucien Favre substituted Haaland for Piszczek. So we went back to the four in the back position, Piszczek was allowed to, no, not Piszczek, but not Piszczek, Hakimi was allowed like to play in his natural position as a fullback, right fullback, and we had a transition in the midfield, seeing Brandt like drop back and construct plays from further back in the field. That was a key moment because when I saw that the player that I had in mind who can play the same as who can play like the same who used to play the same style as Brandt was and I might be crazy here or you know overhyping things, but it was Andres Iniesta of FC Barcelona. I don't know if you agree with that, but the way that Brandt played yesterday, it was similar to that style, you know, those like quick spins, quick
foot. Very technical.
Yeah, very technical. Quick spins, quick foot, you know, to quick feet to run away from defenders. You know, his passing ability as well. He was like a key component to yesterday's result, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. He played like his role as a midfielder yesterday, like he played it very well and it proved to be a very crucial role for the team. Like I think getting the first goal that he got was like, it wasn't like a fancy goal or a flashy goal. It was like a very technical goal, but like he when he got the ball in a goal scoring area, instead of just like taking a like tight angled shot, he tried to create himself just a little bit more space and to get a better angle at the goal, and like doing little technical maneuvers like that are fantastic for like scoring goals like he scores. And yep. like they, and like, I don't know, he uses those movements outside of the box as well. Like those quick spins and those like very sharp cuts and stuff. He uses those to like create space or to like give him room to pass the ball to someone else who's got room behind defenders and stuff. But like, he, I don't know, his role in the midfield, like he played midfield so well yesterday compared to like, I think what we've seen from him. Like, he obviously is still like an attacking midfielder, but I feel like he was more of like a reliable attacking midfielder, you know? Like sometimes it's tough to count on him to be able to create space or to like find those gaps in the defense. But yesterday I think he did a great job of like reading the field around him and like doing like making the best out of what he had given to him. You know, he wasn't trying to be flashy or fancy, but at the same time he wasn't playing like below his skill level. He was like utilizing all his strengths, the ways that he can, like from his technical abilities to his speed and to his finishing. And like then he was creating space for teammates as well. I think that was huge in creating space for like Haaland and for Sancho. Like there's, I don't know, I think if we could see more of the Brandt that we saw yesterday, Dortmund could have a lot of success, especially if Haaland continues to grow and develop with the same type of like energy that he played yesterday. Like there's a lot to, I think there's a lot of positives that we can take from yesterday's match.
I'm sure. And when while we're talking about like players who performed yesterday, it would be unfair to not talk about Jadon Sancho.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he has like the quality. His quality is off the charts, man. Way he like provided the assist for the second goal and scored the third goal himself. His ball control, like, it's out of this world. And a player of his age, man. He's still growing, man. He's still growing. He didn't want to leave Borussia Dortmund in the winter. He wanted to stay. Maybe he's going to stay, you know, next season. We don't know yet. Maybe he's going to be sold. I'm not sure, but right now he doesn't care about that. He's not like, okay, I might leave in the summer, so I don't care what happens here. No, he's a professional player. Although he made some mistakes, like both off and on and off the pitch this season, but he is the first player in Europe's top five competitions this season to pass 10 goals and 10 assists.
Yeah, he's the first in top five leagues in Europe for 10 and 10, which is like, that's a pretty big deal.
That's huge. Like some people who don't like watch soccer or football or whatever, we like, okay, well, what's that? Like 10 goals and assists. Come on, but that's fucking huge when you're the first player. Like when you have players like Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, Kylian Mbappe out there. You know, Suarez. I don't know what have you players like Modric, Benzema, and all. Like when you see a player who is this all, you know, this like young and playing for Borussia Dortmund, one of the top clubs in one of the top competitions in world football, and you see this, you know, this huge performances over and over again, you're like, okay, respect. The pressure, the press is not nice to him at all. Like nobody's nice.
Yeah.
Like they were criticizing him about eating that, like, I don't know, $500 steak in Dubai or something, you know, from, what's his name, Salt Bay. Like, okay, come on, what the fuck? He wants to get a fucking $500 steak. Like, do you envy that? Like, go get you a fucking job and go eat a fucking $500. Come on. Like, he wants to eat a steak. What about it? Like, come on, okay, I'm gonna go out and write, why did he write the steak? What's that about?
Yeah, like bullshit. I don't know. At that age, like, it's so much easier to make enemies in the media than it is to make friends, especially when you're, like, a player like Sancho, who's, like, always in the headlines for how well he plays. Like, yeah. The media are gonna try and find, like, negative stories to put out about you and stuff. Like, anything that'll stir controversy and like that'll draw attention to you. So like for Sancho to just like to tune all that out and to continue to put out consistent performances like he has been, especially lately, like that's like among the players, in Europe, he's sure to be like one of the more respected players. He lets his game do the talking, you know?
Yeah, he's like, okay, you can talk, you can hate, and I don't care. I see him like the kind of player who, except if he goes like to Bayern, God forbid, like if Bayern buys him like next season, he's gonna be like respected and remembered in Dortmund for years. Because
oh yeah,
the dedication, the everything that he gave for the team so far is amazing. You know, and we have also, like, now that we have Haaland, I am interested to see how Lucien Favre is going to employ Paco Alcacer, who needs some playtime, to be honest. Like, even if we decide, like, to sell him in the summer, he still needs, like, some playtime in order to bring, like, you know, a decent amount of money to the team,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen Paco very much lately, either on the stat line or on the pitch in general. You know, he's been kind of like in and out of the lineup a lot. And like with Haaland, it's nice that we have someone who's like, as long as he's healthy, we could rely on him to be like, it seems like we'll be able to rely on him to be a contributor in the attack. But at the same time, like, we know Paco has a lot of very, very like specific skills that he excels in. You know, his free kick abilities are very, very well respected. You know, he's terrifying for goalkeepers when it comes to free kicks, and he's like very clinical in front of goal, but at the same time, like, he's had trouble staying healthy, and he's been like in and out of form a lot this year. And now with Haaland, it's like, if Haaland continues to perform like he did yesterday, I'd imagine he'll get the bulk of the playing time. And so that leaves us like, what do we do with Paco now? And like, if we want to be like, if we're not going to keep him after this year, then it's going to be less financially beneficial for Dortmund to sell him if he doesn't get any more playing time and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a mixed bag. We got to find a way to like balance, you know, using Paco Alcacer and like using his strengths for our benefit. But at the same time, we also have to make sure like we're keeping him involved and like keeping his value up so that if we do decide to sell him, like, we can get something for him instead of just like being forced to settle for a weak deal.
Yeah, exactly. We really need to think about a way to play Paco Alcacer as well. He needs some game time this season, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
You never know, he can like turn around and become, you know, come back to his form, become like the Paco Alcacer that we saw last year. It's very likely. He needs to become back to his top form. I totally believe in him, and if he's given like a couple of minutes of game, like in the upcoming games, I think that he can perform and he can show. Right now, yeah, like injury is injury is like slowing him down, but I really hope he comes back to form. Another thing, an honorable mention to Mr. Thorgan Hazard for his unselfish move of the season.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to mention that if you didn't, actually.
How could I miss that, man? Like, that brought tears to my eyes seeing him do that for his, you know, new teammate, just to boost his confidence and, you know, and make him, you know, like, no other player would, but even Sancho's goal, Hazard was in a good position to, you know, to pass him, and Sancho saw that the goal was like empty, so might as well score myself. Hazard didn't do the same. He's like, okay, I gotta pass now. Like, I'm gonna pass on this one, but I'm gonna take one for the team. And I really, I really appreciated him doing that. It was a good move.
I would agree. It reminded me of like if you're playing FIFA against your friend, And in that situation, you're always going to do exactly what Hazard did because it's so disrespectful to the opponent as well. It's like you have one player who has a guaranteed goal at his feet, and then you've got another player on the other side of the goal who's also got a guaranteed goal if you pass it to him. You always pass it to him because of the disrespect it shows to the other team. And like in reality, like in real life, it's really like a sign of respect for the teammate that you're passing to as much as it is like disrespectful to the other team. Because it's like if you're Augsburg, and you see that Hazard has like a wide open goal in front of him and can very easily score. And like instead of scoring, he passes it to someone else who also is right in front of the goal, wide open and can score. Like that to me, like that's got to be demoralizing as a defensive unit to watch that, especially with the goalkeeper like out of position because he made he challenged early and was unsuccessful. So like, I don't know. I really liked seeing that from Hazard too. That was one of my favorite moments of like the whole match when I rewatched it.
Yeah, he's got it. Like he's gotta be like, you know, he should be proud. He's got an assist in the game. He played a very good game. He was one of the key players, you know, in bringing the ball forward and stuff. Like I think we have what it takes to come back in. Now RB Leipzig are like running away with the league. They're like 5 points, I guess, ahead of Bayern. Let me see. Like, to be honest, I'm sorry for all the fans who are gonna hear this, but I wanted Bayern to win today because I'm like, oh my god. If Bayern didn't win today, Leipzig are going to be like up there running away because they're 4 points away from Bayern and they are 7 points away from Dortmund. Okay. Well, you can still do something about that. I think we're not out of the race. We have like 16 more games.
Yeah, we have ground to make up, but we have the skills and the talent and the experience to be able to make up that ground. And like, I mean, it's definitely not going to be an easy push from fourth to first. But if we're going to make it, you got to start somewhere. And I think yesterday is a good place to start.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. If we can like run with it, if we can like play our cards, play on in our, you know, strengths and employ the right players in the right time and be the team that we deserve to be, you know, be the team that our players, the talent we have, deserves to be, you know, deserves to look like, and you know, the competitions they deserve to compete in. We should like play wisely for the next games, be that in the Champions League or in the Bundesliga or in the Cup. We should really make a statement. And even if we don't get any silverware this season, we should like make a statement that this is the team to be in. You know, this is the team for young players to show who they are, and so we can advance even more and attain the status of being a top class, a world class team that players come to win titles and to stay for 5-6 years, not only this, you know, this just team that like promotes players and takes players from, you know, being like small profiles, takes them to like, you know, stardom in world football. That's what I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Like that, even like this season shouldn't be defined only by whether or not we win the Bundesliga. I think a big part of how we look back on this season will be related to how we move forward from here. You know, like if we just look disconnected for the second half of the season and we don't look like a team that's competitive, then it's probably not a very good or very successful season. But if you know, if we come out and have, you know, a much better second half of the season than we had in the first half and still don't manage to win the Bundesliga, like, so be it. Like, there's only so much you can control. So like Dortmund at the very least needs to do everything they can to give themselves a chance. Like their fate is not entirely in their own hands, but like that doesn't mean they shouldn't go out and do what they can to try and, you know, take the title. So I would like to see at the very least like a tangible effort or like a meaningful effort from the team. And I think if we're not going to win the Bundesliga, if we can at least look back and say, you know, at the very beginning of January, Dortmund was down 7 points from first place, and they finished just 3 points back or something. Things like that are things that you can build on and take into next season. And like that doesn't have to like, they can kind of like, they, I don't know, they can help heal from like the pain of not winning, if that makes sense. Like it makes not winning less of a disappointment if you're able to show, like, for especially for the second half of the season, that we're a more unified team, we're a more connected team, and we're out here to come and compete now. Like, if you can take that energy through the offseason, through the summer, and into next fall, if we don't win this year, then I think that's a very important thing for Dortmund to be able to do. And at the same time, you never know. Like, if they do come out and put together a very impressive run for the next couple months, maybe they do finish at the top of the table and they come home with some silverware. Like, that would be fantastic. But, like, we can't let the only... I guess we can't define the season by whether or not we win the Bundesliga, because the first half of the season has put us in a position where winning the Bundesliga is a lot harder now. So we have to look at what we can take from the season and, like, look at what positives we can take forward and build on, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't, like, put that, you know, any better. Like, you said it all about how we should proceed from now on. And, yeah, I 100% agree with that. So, yeah, now let's see and let's, you know, let's build the excitement. And, you know, as we say, let's all join, you know, climb and travel in that motherfucking...
Yeah.
Hype, like, train.
Yeah, like in my eyes, the pressure's off. Like, now it's a matter of, like, showing what we're made of. Like, there's really not as much pressure anymore because it doesn't look... Like, realistically, it's a tough ask, or it's a tall order to ask for Dortmund to finish first in the Bundesliga. So, like, the pressure's kind of off Dortmund now, and they have the opportunity to put the pressure on some other clubs ahead of them and make this an interesting second half of the season, you know? And that's what we as fans can hope for, I guess, at this point. Let's see what happens, type of thing.
For sure, bro. For the people who are listening to us, you know, as we said, like, last episode, we have a blog, ultimateborussia.com. We have a YouTube channel, Ultimate Borussia. Like, people are joining us every day. We had, like, a couple of thousands of, tens of thousands of views in the YouTube channel lately. We have, like, new subscribers. And I was, like, browsing my phone, looking for some Dortmund news. I started, like, you launched the Google application, and when you launch the Google application, it gives you, like, news based on your interests, what you search. And my article that I wrote today about Erling Haaland, like, showed up in the recommendations. I'm like, oh my god, that's epic. That's cool.
Yeah, we're reaching a bigger audience, and we're hoping the bigger audience is here to stay with us. We're excited to, you know, connect with our new listeners, with our new readers, with our new viewers, and we hope you guys enjoy being part of the Ultimate Borussia family, because we're a family that's always looking to grow and that's excited for what Dortmund has to offer and what we can, how we can talk about it and how we can, you know, find some positives and some not so positive situations and that kind of a thing. You know, we're here for the fun as much as we are for the seriousness.
Yeah, and one thing I have to say is join us now or regret it forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess we touched on so many points. If we forgot something, we're gonna definitely talk about it. And the next episode, the next game is against Köln, FC Köln, next Friday, 8:30 p.m. Central European time, and you can convert that to your times, you know, whoever is listening to this. And yeah, we're looking forward to that game. We have FC Köln, Union Berlin, and Werder Bremen in the cup after that. So we have some light games, lightweight games that we can, like, take advantage of. And then be prepared for PSG for the first leg of the round of 16 of the Champions League on February the 18th. We're going to play the big guys of Europe.
Yeah.
And until then, we wish you a very nice end of January.
Yeah, hopefully we can build some positive momentum and build some confidence heading into the Champions League clash with PSG. I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to see what happens between now and then.
Me too, my friend. So take care.